morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Here now is Brother Dishman to bring us another good message from God's eternal word.
Thank you, brother.
Acts 22:16. Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. My message deals with the subject, why put it off any longer? You don't plan on going to hell? You haven't made up your mind? I want to be lost? Down deep in your mind and your heart, you know you want to get saved someday. You know you want to go to heaven. So the message is, why put it off any longer? Like for us to direct our thoughts to those who are not Christians and whom God over the years have called through the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ. If you have not as of yet obeyed the gospel, you may think that you have some valid reasons why you have not made this decision up to this point. Well, God's word has an answer for every reason you may have for not obeying Christ. Indeed, one might properly ask the same question Ananias asked. He asked the question, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. One of the questions that often goes through my mind is, I see people under conviction, and I know that God is speaking to their hearts. Why does one wait? Why do people week after week and even month after month and year after year put off salvation when they know down deep in their heart they don't want to be lost eternally? Amen. Well, whatever the objection, the Lord has the answer. And to illustrate, I'd like for you to consider some objections often raised for not obeying the gospel to be in the beginning. One of the things we often hear, I will later, but not now. Procrastination is one of Satan's greatest weapons. You need to understand that. He delights in using it on us in every stage of life. The 12-year-old to delay by saying, I'm too young right now to think about God. When you're 18 years old, you delay saying, I'm much too smart to think about it now. When you're 22 years old, you might be delayed by saying, I'm much too happy to think about it right now. When you're 25 years old, you might say, I'm much too busy to think about it right now. When you're 30 years old, you might say, I'm much too smug to think about it right now. When you're 40 years old, you might say, I'm too tired to think about it right now. And when you're 50 years old, you might say, I'm much too worried to think about it now. And when you're 60 years old, you're saying, I'm too old to think about it now. Much too often, death comes unexpectedly, and then definitely it's too late to think about it. Many times, even when you're on your deathbed, it's too late to think about it because you've hardened your heart against God. It should be evident, even by looking around, that it's folly to put it off and to delay your soul's salvation. If you knew there was a bomb in your house, that any moment it could explode, would you delay? Would you go home tonight and lay down and just go to sleep as if nothing was wrong? No, you'd call somebody. You'd do something. Friend, it's more serious than that to put off your soul's salvation. Would you delay if you had a terminal disease, if left untreated? Why then should an individual have such concern for the body but no concern for the soul? The soul is much more important than your body. Jesus taught this very clearly in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter in verse 28, when he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's the main thing you need to be concerned about, your soul. Amen. If you know what to do, don't delay, because your soul's at stake. That's serious to think about. Your soul is at stake. And Jesus said, you better fear God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But then there's others that would say, "Brother Dishman, I just don't know enough yet to get saved." Well, a desire to learn more is commendable. There's a lot more that I'd like to know. I don't know it all yet. I never will. But being a Christian involves a growth process. A lot of teaching takes place after you become a disciple. Even though I was raised in church all my life, when it come right down to it, I didn't know that much about getting saved. Amen. So the teaching comes afterward. Matthew 28, 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. In fact, one can become a Christian with very little knowledge of the Bible. You don't have to know very much about the Bible to get saved. Someone might ask the question, "Then, Brother Dishman, how much do I have to know?" Well, consider the examples of the conversions in the book of Acts. Most of the conversions in the book of Acts resulted after just one lesson. How many of you heard? Some here, no doubt, that's heard hundreds of lessons, hundreds of messages. You know what you need to do down deep on the inside. You just need to do it. The eunuch wanted to be saved after just one lesson. It was faith that was necessary for the eunuch, not extensive knowledge. Amen. We read about it in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, verse number 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.'" If you've been saved, the next step is to be baptized. Somebody said, "Well, I'm already saved." Well, you still need to be baptized. We preach in the church of God, there's power in the blood, not power in the tub. Amen. But anyone can be baptized if they've repented and believed. Somebody said, "Well, I just don't feel ready yet." You don't have to feel ready. Somebody said, "I don't feel worthy to be baptized." You don't have to feel worthy. You don't have to wait a certain amount of time. Somebody said, "How should this come to pass? What way? Do you believe in pouring or sprinkling or immersion?" I believe in immersion. If you're a Christian, being baptized is a command of God. It's not an option. It's an act that God requires of every believer, including you. So why would a person want to put off what God has said to do? Water baptism is, in essence, a funeral. It's an act of faith which we testify both to God and to the world, that the person we were before is dead, he's buried, and we are raised as a new creation in Christ. And this is beautifully illustrated by Romans 6:4, when it said, "Therefore we are buried with him and by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." I want you to think about something. How long have you been a Christian? You still haven't been baptized. There's not one case of an unbaptized Christian in the book of Acts. In fact, baptism immediately followed a person's salvation, beginning on the day of Pentecost all the way through the last chapter of the book of Acts. So they didn't see it something to be delayed or put off. Study those conversions, and you will come to the same conclusion. So, if you understand and are convicted in your heart, just like the question was asked to the eunuch, if you believe with all thine heart, then you can be baptized. Amen. You can receive the benefits of his death through repentance and believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts 10 and verse number 43 to give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That includes you. Whosoever believeth in him can receive the remission of sins. What was the message on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts in the second chapter and verse number 38? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Went on in the third chapter in verse number 19 and said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then we'll go on over to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, and here's what he has to say about repentance there. In verse number 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God has commanded you to repent. Not to repent is to disobey God. Romans puts it like this in the 10th chapter and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's nothing negative about that. That's positive. When you meet the Bible conditions of repenting with godly sorrow and placing faith in the Son of God, it's not that it's possible that God will save you. Thou shalt be saved when you meet the conditions. Just like it is when a couple comes and gets married in a Bible way, amen, when they say those vows together and make those promises by a minister that has the authority to pronounce them now husband and wife. Friend, they may not feel married, but they're married. They've met the conditions. And so it is when you genuinely get saved. You may get up from the altar. You may not feel a whole lot different, but you've met the conditions in the Word of God. And when you meet the conditions in the Word of God, God saves every time. Amen. Then, friend, you must remain faithful. A lot of people want to leave that out. But after you're saved, you got to continue. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved, according to the book of Matthew and the 24th chapter. And he tells us in the book of Revelation and the second chapter in verse number 10, breaking in that verse, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Somebody said, well, I'm not that smart, and I just don't understand things, and I don't know how I can ever get saved. I just can't comprehend it all. Well, the Bible tells me in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35 and verse number 8, that an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean thing shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. Thank God it's not complicated. Amen. If you really want to be saved, you can be saved. Amen. Amen. And so there's others who admit, well, I know enough. I believe I know enough about the Bible. I believe I've heard enough preaching. I know what I need to do, but I gotta wait until I can be sure that I can live it. Right now, I don't know if I can live it. I'm not good enough yet, and I want to improve my life. And as soon as I can improve my life, then I'll get saved. Well, this implies a misunderstanding of the Christian life. Some mistakenly believe that they are expected to act like mature Christians right away. Well, I'm just really honest with you. You might think, I can't live a mature life like Brother Decker. I just can't do it. You're not expected to. You might look at Sister Decker and say, I can't live like her. I can't live a mature life like Sister Decker? You're not expected to. Amen. Friend, when you get saved, you're a babe in Christ. Amen. A lot of people just hold off, I fear, because they look at those that's been saved for years. And they say, I can't live like that. They assume they must change themselves completely before becoming Christians. But listen, we start out as babes, often still even carnal. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's what we are. That's what I was when I first got saved. A babe makes mistakes. A babe falls. And when you make a mistake, even when you fall, you don't have to stay down. You can get back up and go on for God. Amen. All you got to do is get up one more time, then you fall and you can make it. That's all you got to do. Get up one more time, then you fall. And you'll hear him say, well done. Amen. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. The Apostle Paul wasn't talking to sinners here. He was talking to babes in Christ. You're yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not yet carnal? Walk as men. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? But we grow after conversion, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. That's a process of time. Amen. You don't arrive there overnight. But as God gives you light and understanding, you put off the old man and put on the new man. Amen. That's a continual progress as long as you live for God. Amen. Just as the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As you grow in knowledge, as you grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he'll show you things you got to put off and things you need to do. And as long as you keep walking in the light as he is in the light, you can have fellowship with God and you can have fellowship with your brothers and your sisters. The fact is, somebody said, well, I would get saved, but I just know I can't do it. The matter is, none of us can. Amen. If you're going to wait till you can live it, you'll never get saved. It is only Christ, when we receive the strength that he gives us, can we overcome sin and the things that we've been bound by. Amen. Romans puts it like this in the 6th chapter and verse number 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. After conversion, you can claim the promises of God. And there's so many of them in the Word of God. You can claim those promises like the Apostle Paul gave us in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. You can do everything that God asked you to do through Christ which strengthens you. Amen. If you get saved, you mean business with God, God will give you the power. God will give you the strength that you need to be what you need to be for God. The Bible tells me in the book of St. John and the 1st chapter and verse number 12, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as to many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You say, but I can't quit this, and I can't give this up, and I can't do this, and I can't dress like that. Friend, God gives you the power to become the Son of God. He gives you the power to be what you need to be, because 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Praise God for that. That's what happens when you truly get saved. There's a greater one on the inside. He's greater than the devil, and he's greater than the flesh. You can live it if you let the master come in, if you let the King of all kings, if you let the King of glory come into your heart and life. He'll reign in your heart and life and give you what you need to make it here, from here on to glory. Amen. When you try to say, well, as soon as I could get my life straightened out,
as soon as I can quit some things and give up my bad habits, then I'm going to get saved. Friend, that's putting the cart before the horse. It don't work that way. We need Christ and His strength in order to truly reform our lives. Amen. Then there are those who say, well, I would come there to church if it wasn't for them hypocrites. Well, guess what? There is no hypocrites in the Church of God. Might be some around the Church of God, but there's no hypocrites in the Church of God. I just read to you out of the book of Isaiah. The unclean can't even pass over this way. Amen. But you know what? There's hypocrites everywhere. But people who tell me, well, I'm not going to go to church over there because there's hypocrites there. They go to the ball stadium. It don't prevent them from enjoying the sports event, does it? Their sin of hypocrisy is no excuse for you to continue in your sins. Two wrongs doesn't make a right. It's deplorable indeed that there are hypocrites around the church from time to time. But don't allow them to cause you to be lost eternally. Which is worse? To spend a few years in a church with a few hypocrites around, or to spend eternity in hell with all of them? Now listen, even some professing Christians say, well, I'm not going to church over there because I know there's people over there just don't live right, and they're not doing right. Jesus did not refuse to worship in the synagogue, though the religious leaders and hypocrites were there. The 11 disciples did not leave Jesus because Judas was a hypocrite. If you let a hypocrite come between you and God, you let a hypocrite become bigger than God. And how tragic it would be to allow a few hypocrites to keep you from enjoying the things of God. Then some say, I want to wait for my spouse. I've heard people say, I want us to go to the altar together. Your concern is commendable. Will you help your wife, your husband, by waiting? The truth of the matter is they are probably waiting on you. They may say things, but they don't mean what they say. Your delay can only hinder their obedience. Your example of obedience can be a powerful influence for good on your companion. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You see, the sad thing about it, when you stand before the Lord, it will be you as an individual. It will not be family groups on the day of judgment. You will have to answer for yourself. Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. As much as you love your family members, don't let them lose your soul for you. And finally, let's consider the objection that's somewhat similar to the one we've just discussed. I'm afraid what my parents, my spouse may think. We need to keep in mind what Jesus taught. He taught us in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 34, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set man at variance against his father and daughter against her mother and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If you will not get saved because of your wife, you won't get saved because of your husband, you won't get saved because of your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you won't get saved because of some relative or friend, then you're not worthy of the Lord. He made it clear that we must be more concerned about what he thinks than what our loved ones may think of us. Something else to bear in mind. At first, They may think you're disregarding their feelings and beliefs, but in reality, you are likely, if you're a young person, a teenager, or a child, you're acting upon the fundamental principles that they themselves taught you. They taught you to do what's right. They taught you not to violate your conscience. They taught you to stand on your own convictions. So they really have no basis to think evil of you, do they? There's many other excuses, no doubt many other reasons one might give for not becoming a Christian, not obeying the gospel. But I believe this should be sufficient to illustrate there's really no justifiable reason to put off obeying the gospel. There's really no justification for not accepting the grace that God offers you through Jesus Christ. So if you know what you need to do, I'm pleading with you, do not put it off any longer. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those sound words of admonition. Hopefully, you will take this message to heart. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month, at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. We invite you out to our services today. For transportation, you can call that same number, 740-345-1213. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:45. Each evening at 5 o'clock, our youth services begin. Then at 6 o'clock is our evening worship service. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at the same time. So until then, may God bless you, is our prayer.